Football on Off the Ball.
I had a 2-year plan to get back to the Premier Division, and when Shelburne came knocking, I couldn't say no, so...
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. A bite-sized serving of Ireland's breakfast sports show.
Alan Quinlan is with us at 11 minutes past 8. The dust has settled. What happened?
New Zealand were pretty sharp. I don't think it wasn't the performance that cut Ireland apart. I think Ireland could have been further behind. I think they started the game well. They were very physical around the breakdown, and I thought that was a good sign. As I did say last week, and numerous times, I was worried about the start and getting up and running in this game on the back of New Zealand playing a lot of games and having a fair bit of cohesion in their selection. I know it was a different team, but played Japan the week before, but they have a fair few games played together. Now, 2 years ago, if we go back, and we played South Africa in November in the first game, and we won 19-16. So it's not a... I wouldn't say it's not an excuse from anyone. It was always, even if we played really well, it was still going to be very close and tight, I think, if we were playing very well, because New Zealand are New Zealand, you know what I mean? So Ireland were off it a little bit. They were rusty. They were sluggish. They lacked a little bit of control, tried to force it. We had no period of sustained pressure that we've kind of has been the hallmark of this team for the last few years. And New Zealand got their tactics right. They kind of had great line speed and really frustrated Ireland in getting any sort of momentum built in the game. So I still think Ireland, given where they were at and the pressure they were under, after 15, 20 minutes, the pressure turned a lot and they were attacking Ireland and were building sustained pressure. Ireland defended really well to hang on in there. They could have been further behind at half time. So New Zealand were very sharp and aggressive in what they were doing.
Yeah.
And they got to grips with Ireland's early kind of tactics around the breakdown of really messing up New Zealand. So yeah, it was they were off it a little bit, and New Zealand were very sharp.
When Ireland went ahead at the start of the second half, you would say the hallmark of a good team, playing badly, understanding exactly what's going on, and then adapting and changing. But from that point forward, it was really the opposite. The mechanics of actually playing well seemed to desert many of our best players. And it seemed kind of general, the knock-ons, the stupid mistakes as opposed to the pressurised mistakes. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they were a pressure, but it felt like...
Yeah, there was a lot of mistakes and errors that were... It's called the uncharacteristic ones. You don't really expect them. They're not... I think they just forced it a little bit. Some of the passes they probably needed to kick a little bit more, be a bit more direct and try and find some territory, because that was a big problem for most of that game, was getting into New Zealand's 22 and building some pressure.
So whose job is that?
I think it's 9, 10. It's Caelan Doris as the 8, the forwards maybe mauling a little bit more. There's, you know, number of people there, I would say, but mainly, you know, your number 8, your pack leader, your captain, your 9 and your 10. Maybe Gary Ringrose at 13, you know, relaying some information that their line speed is so aggressive, let's try and get down there and be a bit more direct. Now, Ireland were trying to punch Bundiaki up a little bit, and again, the line-out is an issue. Winning a bit at the front of the line, or it's hard to attack, and there's very wide passes, and there's certain parts, you know, Ireland shortened a lot of lineouts, but...
Is that because it wasn't working properly?
Yeah, well, it's not necessarily the only reason, but I think shortening lineouts allows you to bring your back row into the midfield and create different variation and stuff like that. But the source, New Zealand went after Ireland's source, and... bar the first 10 or 15 minutes, they were the ones that were causing Ireland problems around the breakdown. And and forcing them. So lacking a little bit of leadership control, and then add to that, you're rusty and you're looking around. We saw the first test in Pretoria where Ireland were a bit disjointed and just off it a little bit, and still a very good side who can kind of hang in there, and they were hanging in there the other night. And I think if their discipline is better, they have a better chance of getting to the last 7 or 8 minutes and one score being in it. And then you think maybe the crowd will get going and they'll get one chance down there. But, you know, even at the end, losing the lineup, Rob Herring's thrown into the lineup at the end, nobody gets off the ground.
What was that about?
Heads down time and really poor. So there's a number of things that probably frustrate them. And, you know, as I said, like, I find it amusing that it's kind of, oh God, it's crisis. It's New Zealand. Mm. Like, you said it on Friday, to be fair. I said it. I was very concerned about this game. Even if Ireland, as I said, were playing really well, you don't just turn up and beat New Zealand at any stage. This is a much better New Zealand team. They've been building really well. They could have won both tests in South Africa. They had their off day against Argentina and came back the week after and put 40 points on them. So essentially, it can happen. The broader picture here that we can't get away from is we've an ageing team. Mm. And that's when you have a loss like this, that creates a little bit of, oh,
yeah.
You know, if you have a younger team and you're after introducing 5 or 6 players for this game and you're caught out, you kind of go, well, sure, look, this is, they're going to learn. That's, you know, it's a depth chart. And I totally agree with Andy Farrell last week and what he's saying. And, you know, he was questioned at one of the press conferences about the age profile of the team and bringing in younger players. Who's really hard done by that wasn't involved in the weekend? I think the bench should have been different. I think Ryan Baird, Craig Casey should have been there. Thomas Clarkson is going to come in this week, I would imagine, with Tyke Furlong and Tom O'Toole being injured. I'd like to see Cormac Azuku getting some involvement. Kian Prendergast has been kind of in and out of the squad for the last few years. If he's in the squad, you know,
give him a game.
Throw him in there.
Yeah.
You know, see what he's like.
They obviously don't have faith in those players just yet.
No, I think the thing here is, and I understand it in the sense, they wanted to beat New Zealand first up and they went with a tried and trusted. And, you know, to be fair, Andy Farrell by and large has got it right 90% of the way. Maybe some question at the World Cup about the game time and at the start.
Playing Sexton for the full game.
Yeah.
Against Romania.
There's definitely a few things there, of course, and that's for any coach. But I do agree with the depth chart that there isn't guys here, there isn't 10 fellas who should be in the team that are not in the team. I really thought that the transition would start post-New Zealand as regards the rest of the November game. So it's kind of messed things up from in a sense now. It's must win, but probably needs to freshen it a little bit.
But that when it has been must win in the past, he has stuck with the tried and tested. He hasn't changed it. Like the Romania game.
Yeah.
What are you doing picking your full team here? It's like, well, I want to make sure everybody is up and running. And
well, that was a tactic to try and get cohesion that we're talking about here and build momentum. Like the players, to be fair, Ger, a lot of people picked it in the World Cup and said, oh, Ireland were tired and they were fatigued. It's the start of their season. They should have been as fresh and be able to play matches week after week. They weren't the most telling games as regards taking out of their legs. So, yeah, it's easy to look at that. I think this one was about trying to beat New Zealand. And I suspect there was going to be changes. But
the prediction
the impact
now,
off the bench was a problem.
Yeah, and, it was and, totally negative.
Yeah, it was. And it's difficult to come on to a game. New Zealand were superb. I think, you know, you read some of the stuff back in the New Zealand papers. They were talking about this being one of their best performance of the year. And then we have people who were at the game, oh, it wasn't a great game. And it's down to the expectation of maybe Ireland were a little bit cocky. Maybe we all were in a sense that we kind of expected it to happen. I was very, very, very mindful of the fact that this was a side that's been building. As I said, I know Jason Holland, Dutchie, unbelievably well. He hasn't been given anything away from to me, but he's been very pleased with the way the opportunities they've created throughout the Rugby Championship and that bit of steel that they're getting up front. Yeah.